Naja, genau. Was war das dann für ein Problem? Wir haben super Frage. Okay. Das ist wahrscheinlich das. There's not many times, I'll tell you the truth, I'll tell you something personal. There's not many times where in front of a safer to explore, and it comes with this life. To be honest with you, I am afraid of safer Tanya. I'm afraid of the safer that we're sitting in front of. Why? Because I've explored it one time, and I found it to be a place where there is so much depth and so many layers that, like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Mamish, I've never seen anything like this. I haven't seen a lot, but from the little that I've seen, I've never seen anything like this. The Bardichever was a contemporary of the Baal HaTanya. In fact, was a mechutin of the Baal HaTanya. The Heilige Bardichever made a comment when he first saw the Sefer HaTanya, when it was first showed to him. His comment was, "It's an incredible thing that the author fit such a big God into such a small book." That was his comment when he saw the Sefer HaTanya, when he started learning it. No? Amazing. That's what the Bardichever said. So let's understand why the Bardichever made a comment like that with a little introduction. I really, my words will not well introduce the Sefer, but I felt like before we jump in, let's understand what it is that we're endeavoring to do together, what it is that we're going to try to do. So first of all, who wrote the Tanya is the first Rebbe of Chabad Hasidus, or Shneur Zalman of the Adi. Or Shneur Zalman of the Adi was a Talmud of the Magid of Mizrich, who was the leader of the small group called the Hasidim after the Baal Shem Tov. So it started with the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov revealed an incredible light into the world. The Magid took over the leadership role after the Baal Shem Tov was nifter. And the Magid had a number of Talmidim. And in fact, the Magid had a number of very famous Talmidim, people that we've heard of, including Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Baal HaTanya, the author of the Tanya, known, I will call him by the title, the Baal HaTanya, the one who made the Tanya. But the Magid, additionally, Talmidim, such as who else was part of that chevra? Melech. And we just said the Bardichever. There's a lot of other big names also, but we'll just, that's pretty good. So this chevra was sitting and learning and receiving a tradition from the Magid, who was teaching them the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, and the each one in their own way, many of them in authored Svarim, where in their own way, from their own viewpoint, they attempted to give over the teachings that they had heard and that they had received, and this mahalach, this way of going. So let's understand what is it, before we even start, what is it that they're trying to give over? So we have to take really a step back. I think it's worthwhile. I feel like it's an exercise that's worthwhile. If this sefer is known as the Torah Shebichsav of Chassidus, it's known as the written down Torah of Chassidus. Everything else is tradition and stories and mashalim, and there's other books also, but this is really has become known as the Torah Shebichsav of Chassidus. So I think it's worthwhile to understand around the table to come to some common agreement of what it is. What is Chassidus? What are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? What is Chassidus? Is it the religion? Is it what is that light that the Baal Shem Tov was coming to bring to the world? What do you think?
and connecting with Hashem, being aware of Hashem.
Okay, would you say that before the Baal Shem Tov, there was Judaism doesn't say that you should be connected to Hashem without the Baal Shem Tov?
I think he was showing a different way.
Better understanding, yeah. Deeper level. That, well, was it more like most of them, like more like until then Judaism, especially like Torah and this stuff, was mostly reserved for like an elite group. And most people, the general public was pretty not knowledgeable about most of Torah learning, and he brought it down to the everyday person, maybe to like that every Jew should be able to find.
So it could be something that Hasidus did and it appealed to.
The Pnimiyas HaTorah that was in Kabbalah, because at the time he couldn't learn Kabbalah, was he took that part of it that was okay to learn and gave it to the masses.
Okay. So he brought it down to them, to their level. But what was his goal? What was he trying to do? That's a method. That's a method of doing whatever it was that he tried to do, right? It leads some people throw out words like, you know, being happy. And that's true. That might be an outgrowth of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Or one of the goals of him teaching this was to spread a Judaism that incorporated joy and that elicited joy. But what was he trying to do? What was he, like, at the core of what he was trying to do? It's an interesting, like, thought to play with, right? Because, like, we're already 200, 300 years later, right? So we're seeing, like, what happens down the line, maybe. But what he was coming to bring to the world a new light? What was that light? So there's no wrong answer. It's just like, what do you think? How do you see it? How do you see what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to do? What was he trying to do?
Open the Vegas.
Okay. So I think that speaks close to the core of what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to do. Baal Shem Tov saw that Yiddishkeit was not the end goal. It wasn't to be from or do Jewish things. I think the Baal Shem Tov understood that this was all given to us. The whole thing, the whole picture, the whole lifestyle, and all the things that we have, all the Yamim Tovim, and all the mitzvahs, and all the Torah, and all the Torah learning, in fact, it was all given to us, but that wasn't the goal. What the Baal Shem Tov saw, what the goal was, that was all given to us as a way to connect to Hashem. That was the ultimate goal. And so he said, let's uncover in the things that we're doing, the mitzvahs that we're doing, and the Torah that we're learning, let's uncover a path which allows those things to lead to where they're supposed to get you to, which allows them to take you to where they're supposed to get you to. So the Baal Shem Tov wouldn't say, the Baal Shem Tov wouldn't ever say you could skip the mitzvah, just go to the dveikas. The Baal Shem Tov would say Hashem tells you the best way for dveikas is a mitzvah. So of course you need to do a mitzvah. But do the mitzvah and do it kehalacha with every b'chol pratav v'dikdu keha, all the details, everything, mamish important. Why? Because that's the prescribed way that the creator of the world told you this is the way to connect to me. Right? It's alluded to or hinted at in the word itself for mitzvah as being a pathway of connection, as being a suggestion. It's called a suggestion. Here, you want to get close to me? Here's how you do it. Right? It's like okay, fine.
But at the time,
yeah,
was that lost? Meaning, we did all the things, but he saw.
I'm no historian, I can't tell you. What I've been told was it was a difficult time for the Jews, particularly at that point in history, after people tie it to being a period of time after Shabtai Tzvi, where a lot of people got caught up in fake Mashiach. That was a troubling time for the Jews for that. It was also a time of terrible persecution and poverty. That's just facts on the ground of what was going on to the Jews in Europe at that time. But understanding that he limiting it to thinking that he brought this as a solution only for that moment in time, it's very limiting. And so I want to broaden it and understand that if Hashem orchestrated the world, that it should come a time when there's the Baal Shem Tov, and that there should be this revolution, like it or not, there's a revolution. The Baal Shem Tov brought a new light into the world. So that was a light that's necessary. That's going to, now the way the Sfarim talk about it is that's a light that's necessary in order to get us over this last hump towards Mashiach. That's the light. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because as we get deeper and darker into Galus, it gets harder and harder to do what? Not to do mitzvahs, it seems like, right? We're like super professional. We manufacture our own hooks to hang decorations in the sukkah. Like, we're like really good. Like, we went to China, we went straight to the factory, and we're like, we need this little piece for Judaism, like this little piece of plastic. And like, we get it, and we package it, and it has a hefker on it. Like, we're really, really good at doing the mitzvahs. We're really good at that. And in fact, if you look around, it's an incredible, incredible in the world, at least at the religious world, look at it's a time of incredible Torah learning. So we're really, really good at that. So what's the necessity of his light? Is that final, that last mile, right? That thing that Amazon always struggled with until they figured out, we'll just make trucks and get, like, people will drive all our packages all over, right? And then you end up with like six different people delivering things to you every day, because that's, they just figured it out. They're like, you know what? The last mile is the challenge. This was always their challenge, with depending on USPS and UPS, right? You know that about Amazon? 7 years ago, this is what Bezos was all business, was the last mile. This is frustrating to no end, because he couldn't hit his delivery dates, and he wasn't reliable what it said on the website, until he figured out the last mile. Well, that's exactly what it is. And so what the Baal Shem Tov brought us for the last mile of history, he brought us the solution to the last mile of Judaism, which is Dveikas, which is where the whole thing was supposed to be leading from the beginning, right? That was the intent of the whole thing from the beginning. Really, the intent of all of creation was really for exactly these moments where we got everything. We're so good at this, right? Oreos are kosher. God, you have Skittles are kosher. Like, we're so good at it. We're mini Skittles, sorry. I think the other ones are also really kosher. They just didn't
change. They're not as kosher.
They didn't change the equipment. They didn't change the factory.
Right, that was reported.
I don't know. Okay. My own personal thought.
You already said.
Not around a hot. I don't work for any organization, but.
The HKA says.
But no, they do not. They do not. And 1 second, let's be clear. Regular skills are not kosher.
Is Rabbi Steele interested?
You stop where we are. We stop where we are in history.
HKA.
It's good. It's really, really good. But that last mile is where the struggle takes place. And I believe that the Baal HaTanya, in authoring this book, was coming to provide a solution for that last mile. That's what he was coming for.
Even, I'm not really Yiddish. I don't know if you can tell, but I used to be a language at one point. But even amongst Hasidim who have these farm, it's still difficult for them because they're also very good.
Is a lifelong, that's exactly what he's coming to talk to.
He's saying, that's an introduction.
This is exactly what he's coming to talk to. Is the and Shlomo just reminded me in the introduction to this, which is really we could really start from there, but we're going to dive straight in after I finish talking. In the introduction, he says it's extremely difficult for him to be able to provide answers and field all the questions that he's receiving already at his time from all of his followers and from questions that he's getting written, questions that he's getting. And so he said, I'm setting out to write a book. That inside the book, it's going to have the answers to all the questions, which is an incredible statement to make. You know? It's an incredible statement to make, but people will tell you, people who have been through the Sefer, people who have studied this and internalized it, they themselves will tell you the answers are there. The answers are here. I've never seen anything like it. And that's part of the fear that I have in approaching it, is that I should be the person, at least, you know, with the walking stick, walking with everyone. It's scary. It's a big, daunting task, but we're going to dive in. We're going to jump in. The Baal HaTanya also reminds us of a pasuk in Chumash in the introduction where he says, that this is simple. It's close to you. It should be easy. He says, I'm going to show you why it's easy, why it's close to you. I'm going to show you why Dveikus, and I'm going to show you why the answers, I'm going to set it out for you, and we'll set it up. That's that he says right right at the beginning. He says, "This is my point is to show you kikaro ve'lachal davar," which is so important to remember as you travel through Tanya, because sometimes you're like, "Which direction are you going? What are you doing?" right? And just to remember that what he's doing is explaining to us all the answers that we need. Kikaro ve'lach adar mod, showing you how this is all laid out in front of you. Okay, let's be'ezus Hashem yisparach. Let's get started. So the it starts with the word Tanya. He's quoting from Gemara and Nida. The Baal Tanya starts with the Gemara and Nida. We have to know that in the first paragraph, we can do weeks of introduction, as you can tell, but there's a lot to say. But in the first paragraph, I think it's a great exercise in learning Chassidus and really Pnimiyas HaTorah in general, especially Chassidus. This is an incredible, incredible exercise, the first paragraph. I myself call the first paragraph of Tanya the barrier to entry, right? The barrier to entry. Why do I call it that? Not that I don't want to set it up that it's impossible to get into Tanya, but you're after the first chapter in Tanya, it's very unlikely that you will feel fully satisfied, that you have a good, nice package. And then when you get home and your wife says, what did you learn about? You'll have an answer. And that what the Baal Tanya said is he's going to lay out a book with all the answers, that you're actually going to have those answers. It's very unlikely at the end of the first parak that we're going to have this. Very unlikely. You have them, it's great. And then something went right. But it's very unlikely. But we have to know that. We have to know that the first parak is setting up. Let's add together. And in the exploration, we'll uncover some things. Hopefully we'll get there tonight. We'll uncover some things that will hopefully lead us to a better understanding. Better understanding of what? So when you open up an instruction, anyone built a IKEA thing recently? Or you have a bad memory of building an IKEA thing? Okay, so in an IKEA instruction book, think back, or little tights, you built something, whatever it was. Think back to the instruction book. You open it up. What is it that is there right before you even get to step number one? On what's there? What pieces are there? Your parts list, right? It was the parts list, which ends up being super important because you're like, oh, there's four of those screws. Okay, it must be one of those, right? The parts list. Parak Aleph starts introducing us to the parts list, which is going to be the goal of the first few prakim of Tanya, is to understand what parts am I, as a functioning Jew, what are the parts that I'm dealing with? Before I even understand how they fit together, right? We're going to have to hold off. We have to be patient, which is why I said this is a great exercise in learning Chassidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah, is because it takes a lot of bittul. It's a different zone. It's a different zone than sitting down at a Gemara. You sit down at a Gemara, I got no patience. Tell me what this kasha is, and I want to know right now. This Rashi does not make sense. I have a bomb kasha on Rashi. Tyson's better help me out. There's got to be something here. I got to get to the bottom of this right now. And if I can't, well, now it's the end of First Seder. right? But I've spent many a First Seder, right, on one line. Why? Because you think the fighter. You know what he's talking about, right? You can't go to the next thing. You can't go to the next sugya. In learning Chassidus, I want to introduce that we should come to it with humility. Learning Chassidus, one is much more successful in sitting down and learning Tanya when you come with a little humility, which says, maybe I don't know everything. It's easy for me to say, right? Maybe I don't know everything. There's stuff out there I don't know. You're going to introduce concepts that I'm unfamiliar with. I'm going to try to understand them as best as I can within the context and the format that you're presenting them. But I'm going to come to it and understand that if I just open myself up, all of a sudden things start coming together. It's an incredible, incredible miracle, really. It's really amazing. Stuff starts coming together, and you start to hear this guy and this guy on his status, and this guy said this, and I saw something else in a sefer, and that's what he was talking about. Puzzle pieces. But we have to understand that at the beginning, our goal is not, I have to understand it, but not that everything I'm going to be understand to the depths of the depth. I'm going to understand it to be able to fit it into the context and to be able to learn the safer time. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach Tanya. So he starts with a quote from the Gemara Nida, from a Braisa, where the Braisa tells us, Mashbi and Oso, that before we're born, they make you make a shvua tihi tzaddik val tihi rasha, that you should be a tzaddik and you shouldn't be a rasha. And the Braisa continues, v'afilu kol ha'olam kulo omrim l'cha tzaddik ata v'yeh be'necha k'rasha. This quote, even if the rest of the world tells you that you're a tzaddik, in your eyes, you should see yourself as a rasha. So you have to make a promise that you're going to be a tzaddik and not a rasha. Pretty intense. Right? Pretty intense. And then, even if the whole world tells you that you're a tzaddik, still, the way you should look at yourself is like a rasha. What's the automatic question? What rubs you wrong about that?
Look at myself.
Look at yourself like a terrible person. It doesn't make any sense. The tzarech lahavin. Zuck the Baltanya, I don't understand. The Hatnan says in Pirkei Avos, the al tihi rasha bifnei atzmacha, not only is it against the logic and our sensitivities that I should look at myself like a low life, but in fact, it's a Mishnah on Pirkei Avos that says, al tihi rasha bifnei atzmacha. Don't be a rasha. So I'm not supposed to look at myself like a rasha, or I am supposed to look like at myself like a rasha. Which one? Okay? Question number one. Vigam, additionally, there's a problem with looking at yourself like a Rasha anyways. Im yiyeh be'ein of kirasha, if you look at yourself like a Rasha, what's that going to do for your Avodas Hashem? Yarei levavo, you're going to have a broken heart. Yehei atzev, you might even come to depression. Lo yuchal lavod Hashem besimcha v'tzud levav, you're not going to be able to serve Hashem besimcha. Which he just, you know, puts in there that's important, right? Serve Hashem b'simcha is important. And if you look at yourself like a low life, how are you going to feel about yourself? You're going to come to Hashem with joy? You're going to be able to daven like a mensch? You're a low life, right? So it doesn't even make sense that the Gemara is telling us, yeh be'necha k'rasha, that even if the whole world tells you you're a tzaddik, you should be in your eyes like a rasha. By the way, jump in. If there's questions, ideas, I'm sorry I didn't say it before, but of course, jump in. Vim lo yari levavo klal mizeh.
Rabbi Yaakov, I have one question.
Yeah.
If I was discussing with my brother about how Rav Nachman, and maybe Rav also did it, that basically that when you're in the rug, that maybe it is saying just Rav Nachman. So maybe it was the Baal Shem Tov. Just you saying is that the Baal Shem Tov was not on this, you're so afraid of the Baal Shem Tov. I mean, the Abba Rebbe, the Tanya, you're so afraid of all this, so depth. Is it the depth that you're afraid of, or is it the content of the information?
Probably both, I'll tell you. V'im lo yari levavo, klal mizeh. So if a person thinks of himself as a tzaddik, it's going to mess him up. And if it doesn't mess you up, right? If it doesn't affect you, then yachol lovely day kalos chas b'shalom, and you could come to... You know, be an unserious person about the whole thing. Like, yeah, what's the big deal? I'm a Russian, right? So it doesn't make any sense. How are you supposed to look at yourself?
Wasn't there like, anyways? I forgot which one, but was it the dual one where you had one pocket, he had the nothing for Vegas, or one where you had nothing in addition to the toilet?
Yeah.
And so the trick was always knowing which one to reach for.
Okay, so good. Everything that we know about Anivos, right, which is quality. We talk about quality of humility. That's different than being a Rasha, right? Nochi offer ve'efer is different than being a Rasha. Well, so it's a good, it's an excellent point. What the Baal Tanya is focused on here is this label of Rasha that you're supposed to put on yourself. What does this label mean? What does it even mean to be a Rasha, right? Mm-hmm. And really his essential question that he's starting with is, they make you make a promise not to be, that you're going to be a tzaddik and you're not going to be a Rasha. What is that promise? What are you promising? What is that? What is the tzaddik? What is a rasha?
What is a tzaddik or rasha? Why is there no pain? I'm just a person.
An unintroduced concept. You're right, 100%. Where's the middle ground? Is there a middle ground? Is there someone who goes back and forth, sometimes does good stuff and sometimes does things that are not so good? Like, what is it? What are these labels that we're applying, tzaddik and rasha? And that's really the exploration of the entire first parak, is what are these labels of tzaddik and rasha?
Yeah, I only started learning Kabbalah from YouTube like 2 days ago.
I don't teach Kabbalah, so
I know, you're not supposed to. No, yeah. But what I'm saying is, because also Shlomo put in the chat the other day something about, you know, the dichotomy between two things and then finding that middle ground. So it's baked into Chassidus too. So yeah, there's these sviros, which we're not talking about right now.
Okay.
And there's 10 of them, but every time you mention Russia Tzaddik, there, what is the middle thing between a Russia and a Tzaddik, I guess?
Good. And what are we supposed to be? Are we supposed to be Tzaddik? Are we supposed to give in to the fact that we're just in the middle and sometimes do good stuff, sometimes do bad stuff? This is all the unspoken question here in the Tanya. Exactly. Exactly what he's struggling.
Is that middle? Like, if you're sometimes do good stuff and sometimes do bad stuff, it means sometimes you're good and sometimes you're bad. You're not in the middle.
But neither and one is good.
If you're like, if you're just a guy just trying to get by and not like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go out, but I'm also not going to go to a club or whatever. Like, that you can say is like an in-between. But a guy is doing good, so sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. That puts him in the middle.
Good. So what would you call him?
I would call him.
If you had to label him.
The fact that he is even thinking about the club at all.
You would label him from moment to moment.
Exactly. Okay. It's like there are plenty of Yivaracher. You have like all these Yivarachov. You have all these people that went from being good to bad or bad to good in history. And at some points, we have their name as they were right. They were awesome, amazing people. And sometimes the other names is they're terrible, terrible people.
Good. So who, as I go through life and I switch back and forth.
And so
what is exactly, this is the question that we're coming to answer, is what is it exactly that is happening? What's going on? What are the mechanics? What are the parts that I'm dealing with? Then I can understand how they fit together. What is it that's going on? Did you ever have this thought about yourself? Is like, I'm doing pretty good. You ever thought like that? You ever thought like that? Never? Come on. You never had like a good minute? A good ashray? No, good kiddish. Good. Yeah,
there's a couple of smart of it, right? They sometimes have those feelings.
Okay, I mean, after a couple of drinks, a good Purim. Anyone had a good Purim, right?
Yeah, I think we both mostly look at our wrong.
Okay, cool.
Excellent.
I'm with you. Okay, so we have these good moments. I think we can relate, right? I'm not from Mars when I say
but
we have
most
good moments.
They're wrong moments, y'all. So I don't think anyone at this table is going to say they have good moments.
Okay.
Because you don't think about your good moments. You think about your bad moments most of the time.
Okay, good. That's the other side of it, right? But we all were familiar with this concept of like, I don't know what's going on. I haven't been able to motivate myself to do anything good in the last fill in the blank, however long, right? We go through ruts. We get down, right? What is the internal battle that's taking place when I think I'm a pretty good guy, but then I end up like doing like these crazy things, or not maybe not crazy, but like things. What is it? What's the thing that's going on? Let's continue. Ah, ha'inyan. So we have to understand. Ki ne'im atzinu b'gemara hei chaluta. This is really an additional question. There's another gemara that he's going to present us with. We have a gemara that talks about tzadik v'tovlo. Tzadik viralo, Rasha vitovlo, Rasha viralo, and a beinani. There are five categories presented to us in a Gemara. You remember this Gemara? Remember the Gemara by Moshe Rabbeinu? He wants to know why bad things happen to good people, why good things are happening to bad people, what's going on, how does the world work? And Hashem tells him that there are five categories. The Gemara really says there's a tzadik vitovlo, there's a tzadik viralo. Understand? At this point in the Tanya, we're going to do is translate the words. What does it mean? A tzaddik, and he has good stuff. A tzaddik, and he has bad stuff. A Russia, and he has good stuff. A Russia, and he has bad stuff.
It's
four. One sec. And a Beinoni, the fifth, right? Upirshu b'Gemara. And the Gemara there explains, tzaddik v'tovlo. What does it mean? A tzaddik, and he has good stuff. Those are just words. A tzaddik, and he has good stuff. Tzaddik v'tovlo. What does it mean? Tzaddik Gamor. That's referencing some category of person called a tzaddik gamor, complete tzaddik. Viralo, someone who has a tzaddik and he has bad stuff, is a tzaddik she'eno gamor. Is a tzaddik that's incomplete, an incomplete tzaddik. So now we're being introduced to a whole other category. Really good mark.
How does that make sense? If you're saying a tzaddik who bad things happen to him, he's not a tzaddik gamor?
Good. So
how does that make sense?
So how does that make sense? So what is it? What are even the words? Exactly what the Tanya is saying. It's like, what are even the words that we're saying here? Tzadik viralo means tzadik she'eno gamer. Tzadik v'tovlo, that's a tzadik gamer. By the way, tzadik v'tovlo, a tzadik that has good, So if we think it's we're referencing only the stuff that happens to him, is good stuff happens to him, tzaddik, and good stuff happens to him, right? That's a tzaddik gomor.
What's a tzaddik? Yeah, we have no control about it. Tzaddik gomor is probably a complete tzaddik.
What does that mean? That's a Tanya's question. That's a Tanya. You're like, I don't know that. Right. What is a tzaddik? What's a tzaddik she'eino gomor? He's a tzaddik, but he's eino gomor.
Not somebody that incomplete tzaddik.
That's for sure true, but I think you're just borrowing the term tzaddik and saying
righteous. When someone goes after righteousness,
let's understand
it. In the Gemara's time.
Let's understand it better. Let's understand these labels, right? And by the way, we're not going to have all the answers to all these questions. We're just loading up with questions to start to build a world where the Baal Tanya is then going to show us through. But right now, he's just trying to figure out what we're talking about here. In the Zohar, it in fact explains a little bit different from the way the Gemara says, or maybe an additional layer to what the Gemara says. It says, a tzaddik viralo, a tzaddik and bad stuff that happens, is not referencing that bad stuff is happening to him externally, but what it means is it's referencing something internal about that person. You hear the difference? Tzaddik viralo, you would translate as a tzaddik, and bad stuff's happening to him, right? Bad things happen to good people. That's how we classically translate it, right? Here, he says, the Zohar explains that tzaddik viralo means shehara shebo kafuf, matos, that his bad is bent over, so to speak, to his good. What does that mean? He's in control of his bad. That's a tzaddik vitovlo. Means a tzaddik who owns his tov. He owns his good. His bad is subservient to his good. That's not describing what happens to him. That's describing who he is. You see, what he's introducing in the Zohar is that now we've just flipped from explaining the Gemara to talking about something external, stuff that's happening to the tzaddik. Now the Zohar is telling us that what the word tzaddik here is being used to indicate the tov lo, something about who he is, something about an internal identification.
Not talking about, oh, something bad is happening to him, like someone's sick in his family.
Good.
You're talking about something about him.
So, Viralo, he had something bad in him.
Right. Because I'm getting confused between the two.
Two different, right. They're momish looking at this Gemara from two different angles, right? The way that we would classically understand it is just talking about what happens to him.
Right.
Someone in his family is sick, God forbid. And then what the Zohar is introducing us is that maybe this is being used to describe who the actual person is.
Right.
Tzaddik v'tov lo, and he has good. Gemara sof perek tes de brachos. The Gemara uses this word a different way. The Gemara says tzaddikim. You know how we define tzaddikim? Yetzer tov shoftan. Their good inclination judges them or allows them to make decisions or helps them make decisions. Rishayim. You know how we define the word Rasha in the Gemara in Brachos? Yetzer hara shoftan. Their yetzer hara is the one that makes the decisions or helps them make the decisions. Beinanim. And you know what that middle category is? Zevizeh shoftan. They both, they flip the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. Now, let's stop here for a second. That's another way of defining and giving definition to the word tzaddik and Rasha, which he's pointing out already. He's building one on top of the other, on top of the other, and showing us that all over Chazal, we use these terms, tzaddik and rasha. What do they actually mean? Who are they describing? Amar Rabbah, the Gemara continues there. Rabbah says, the great Amora Rabbah says, kigon ana beinani. You want to know a great example of a beinani? Me. What did we just say about a beinani? What did that Gemara say? That Gemara said, a Beinani, this in-betweener, is someone who the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara shoftan, makes decisions, influences their decisions. Says Rabbah, that's me. This is Rabbah we're talking about, right? Amar Le Abaya. So Abaya jumps up in the Beis Medrash and says, Rabbah, what are you doing? Right? Amar Le Abaya, lo shavik mar chaya l'chol beria. You're not leaving any room for anyone. Because if Rabbah is a Beinani, Rabbah's in the middle, okay? So anyone greater than Rabbah is what? Anyone greater than Rabbah is a tzaddik.
Or also
or greater? I'm saying, okay, if he has both, right? Anyone similar to Rabbah is at best a Beinoni, right? So says Abaya, where does that leave me and everyone else, right? Where does that leave me and everyone else? Because if you're what the Gemara is talking about when it describes Beinoni, Rabbah, if that's you, there's no room for anyone else. Everyone else just gets pushed down to the category of, well, I guess the only thing that's left is Rishoy.
But who says it's a comparison?
What do you mean?
Meaning, what is a Beinoni for me? So Rob is saying, for me, I'm a Beinoni. So what his potential, what he feels the potential is. So
that means he's saying Rabbah. The great Rabbah is saying.
Rabbah is saying, I am a Beinoni because I think that I should be here or here.
Right, but if he's doing that, then everybody in the history
he's saying
of the world,
for you, what do you think you are?
Yeah, but nobody, if Rabbah tells him I'm a Beinoni, nobody's getting up to him and saying, I'm a Tzadik, right?
But again, we're looking at, okay, if you do 25 mitzvahs and 25 averus, no, it's what internally are you, where you're at right now even, supposed to be, so... You grow up a certain way and you're doing more things and then you do so. So you're a Beinoni right now because that's where you're supposed to be. And someone probably might look at you and say, a Beinoni, like, look what I do. But you can't compare two people. This is, meaning I'm seeing that this is something that we're supposed to apply to ourselves and not compare it to somebody else.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you can look at something like that.
Okay. And my author isn't himself as an example.
I mean, the essence of
Christ. He didn't offer himself as an example. He said, I'm a Beinoni.
He did. Go, no, no. You want an example? Keep going. Right? You want an example,
point.
Right? It is a good point. Yes, it's a great point.
Yeah, that is a great point.
But offering himself as an example is defining that category. Right. Yes. You want to know what it looks like? It looks like me. Now, I'm looking at Rabbah, and I'm
right.
I mean, yeah. At best, every once in a while, you do something wrong. But, like, you're not a 50-50. You're not a 50-50 guy, Rabbah.
Yeah,
right? You're definitely not 50-50. But for sure, more good stuff. So, like, everyone else is below you and not even can't even get into that category of like where I have they have these both these things. Right. So, it's obvious in this conversation of Rabbah and Abaya that there's another use of the word Tzadik, Rasha, Beinoni. Zakta Balatani, Lahavin Kol Zeb Be'er Hitiv. In order to understand this and to explain it very well, there are now 53 chapters of Tanya to understand this. And we're not going to understand it tonight. We're not going to get all the labels down, clear, 100%. That's not what...
So is Tanya the same for Beinoni?
Tanya's... No, the author's opinion. The author, when he authored it, he's called it the safer Shel Beinoni. This is the safer for the in-betweeners. Now, we'll have to understand why it is only after 13 chapters, 14 chapters. Maybe we can get an understanding of why he's talking like that. Why not try to be a Tzadik, right? Why not call it the safer for tzaddikim? Okay, that's what we have to. He says, I'm going to explain it well. But, says the Baal HaTanya, it's where you get the barrier to entry. But before I explain it well, I have some more questions. The Gam Lahavin Masha Amar Iyov, we have to understand what Iyov said. The Gemara brings it. Ribono Shel Olam. Iyov says to Hashem, he's trying to get the world off the hook. He says, Barasa tzaddikim, barasa rishayim. You created tzaddikim, and you created rishayim. You created tzaddikim, you created rishayim. It's a little weird. But Tanya started and told us that the Gemara tells us that before you come down into the world, you have to promise that you're going to be a tzaddik and not a rasha. What kind of promise is that? Hashem creates you how you are. Hashem creates tzaddikim and rishayim. Is it all defined before you come down into the world? What's the point of that promise?
What's the point of that promise?
Excellent.
Does everyone get a medera if they do a medera because they promised?
You're like also breaking a promise. Yeah. Not only do you get the Aveira, you're also breaking a promise.
You tell me that you don't break a promise, so what does it matter?
Good, good. So what is it? What is that? That's another question, right? Load up on the questions here in Parakal, because this is the time. This is it, right? 100%. That's what's the point of the question? And if the question that they added, the Gemara tells us that we're asked before our soul comes down into the world, that promise that we're made.
Right, we lose all the Torah. We lose all the Torah when before we come down to this movie.
Yeah.
And then when we go back upstairs, they question us on this movie.
Yeah.
They took away all our Torah when we came here. We knew Baal Peh, we knew every word. Yeah. Then we come to this movie of.
We got to spend our whole life learning it again.
That we came from there. We go through the whole movie. Then they question us on the movie that we live to go back to dirt.
Agree. Ribono Shel Olam says Iyov, you created tzaddikim, you created rishayim. I don't know what Iyov's talking about, says the Baal HaTanya. You created rishayim, you created tzaddikim. Not only that, but Tzadik V'Rasha Lo Kamar, when it says the things that are defined before you're born, right? He's tall and short, rich and poor. It doesn't talk about Tzadik and Rasha. In fact, that flies in the face of everything you know about Yiddishkeit. Everything you know about Yiddishkeit is if you're a Tzadik or a Rasha, that's up to you. That's your Bechira. I mean, that's like the whole thing. The whole purpose of this whole thing is that I should exercise my Bechira. And now you're telling me that Eov had some type of argument with Hashem where he presented the argument that Hashem, you created Tzadikim and Rishon. So he says, I don't know what Eov's talking about. We got to explore this. I don't know what Eov's talking about. Yeah? The Gam Lahavin, he says, now is a good time to ask the burning question. We also have to understand, Madregas HaBeinoni, what is this level of the Beinoni? Okay, so we have our questions. What in the world does the word Tzadik mean? What in the world does the word Rasha mean? Now he says, there's also this middle category of a Beinoni. What is the Madrega of the Beinoni? Shebevadai Eino Mechsa Zechuyos Umechsa Avonos. You might say, that what's a Beinoni? Someone who's 50-50 in the things that they do, in their external actions. Someone who's 50-50, does half good and half bad. What would you qualify a person who does exactly 50% good things and exactly 50% not good things?
Benoni, but I think it's talking about someone that does more good than bad.
Is it Benoni?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. So it can't be 50-50. Why, says the Baal HaTanya? Why can't it be 50-50? He has a proof why it can't be 50-50. Shim Cain, because if it was 50-50, remember who labeled, who said, ooh, the label Beinoni, put that on me. Rabba, the great Rabba. You're going to tell me it has to do with external, the way you act, the things that you do, that the things that you do are 50% good and 50% bad, and Rabba's going to stand up in the base of that and say, oh, that's me. Come on. I mean, I've heard of an unknown, but like, that's like beyond, right? That's just like not in touch with reality. You don't know who you are. Right? It can't be. How in the world could Rabba make such a huge mistake to say about himself that he's a Beinoni if the way you're going to describe Beinoni is based on external 50%, 50 good, 50 bad actions that puts you in the middle?
More of a percentile.
We know, yeah, okay. Vinoda, and we know about Rabba. He's just backing himself up. He says, we know about Rabba. He never stopped learning. The stories in the Gemara where even the Malach HaMavis couldn't get Rabba. Familiar story, who else that happened to? We know this, right? David HaMelech, right? But Rabba, the Malach HaMavis, couldn't get to him. Why? Because he didn't stop learning. Guys doesn't stop learning. You're going to tell me he's 50-50 external actions, 50 good, 50% good, 50% bad? It doesn't make sense. That can't be what a Beinoni needs.
Why? That's exactly what he said that. At the time, he looked at himself as a Beinoni. He finally, we're now talking about the end of his life. The end of his life, he hit Tzadik status.
It's the same Rabba, though. Rabba, when he stood up in the base matter, she was, one second, when he stood up in the base matter, he was bad, some of that struggling.
Was,
so, Rabba.
What did he get to the great? If you think you're great, you never reach greater.
Yeah.
So when you think you're middle, then we're now talking the end of his life.
Yeah.
The end of the life, he hit, pop.
Okay.
He becomes the goat.
Okay.
And now he's the goat.
Well, okay. He wasn't saying
but he struggled.
Malach HaMavis was saying.
No.
Right?
No. Saying, no, the Gemara
at the end of his life.
He didn't say this. He didn't say, I'm a Beinoni at the end of it.
Right.
He said that in some that's point in his life. At some point in his career.
That definition of Beinoni that he was going on was saying that, like, I'm ruled by both my Yitzhar and Yitzhak, but like, not my, like, my schusim right now against my
this. Well, we're bringing this as a raya, as a proof that you're the Beinoni, and still the Malchamot's convicted. I'm saying he was a Tzadik at that point. That's what Malchamot's convicted.
My point is, he is Rabba,
no
is getting himself.
Right.
The Malchamot is the
last point.
Yeah. Okay,
no, but
I hear.
Rabba can say it about himself that he's a Beinoni, right? But we can't say it about Rabba that he was a Beinoni.
Also, like, if you get to the point, I'm just thinking out loud. Ari, you're not going to like this. But if you get to the point where at the end of your life, the Malach HaMavis can't take you, what was the trajectory? What is it called? Like, what is your arc look like? Like, is it like, I don't think it looks like this. Let's say this is half of your life. I don't think it looks like, oh, you get to like that. You get to like that halfway and like you slide like it's probably closer to this. Like you had like more time to practice. By the end of your life, you get to a point where the Malach HaMavis can't take you. So what I mean is that then you chart when Rabba said, I'm a Beinoni. it's out of character. Yeah, he's already above that 50-50 mark. Right?
Well, I think when it's Rabbah, if you asked him even at that point in his life, I think he still would have said he's a Bainan. The Malchamavis is like you take a test, you say, oh, I think I did okay, and then you get 100. Okay?
Well, did he argue that he was a Bainan?
He's still not, following the Gemara that says
that's true.
Cholo, did he say afterwards that he's a Tzaddik?
No. Vote.
And he is Rabbah.
Vote. Something that's also perplexing. Again, remember, we're not going to get the answers in Perek Aleph. I don't even know if we're going to finish Perek Aleph. Hopefully. Let's see. Vod. Shaharei b'shasha osa avonos nikra rasha gamar. If you do an aveira, you're called a rasha. V'im achar kach asa tshuva nikra tzadik gamar. And if after you do tshuva, you're called a tzadik. So at any point when you're doing an aveira, you're going to be labeled. At that moment, we're going to apply a label to you. According to these things, we're going to apply a label to you of Russia. And if you do tshuva, we're going to apply a label to you of tzaddik. So it has to do with what you're, again, the Baal Tanya is driving this home. If you're talking about the external actions of a person, these labels don't fit into all the chazals we know. The chazals don't fit together, right? And now this is a long sentence here, but let's read it and then let's try to understand what he's saying. Even someone who does a rabbinical transgression, something light, is called a rasha. Like the Gemara tells us that someone who's over on a dirabanan is already labeled a rasha. So any aveira that you do, small aveira, you're called a rasha. The Gemara that says that even if you didn't do the Aveira, but if you could have stopped someone else from doing the Aveira and you allowed it to happen, you're also called a Rasha. These Gemaras are like throwing this word Rasha around like it's nothing. And for sure, someone who doesn't do a mitzvah saseh, positive commandment that they're able to do, for sure, someone's mevatel a mitzvah, like let's say they have the ability to learn Torah and they don't spend that time learning Torah. They're called a rasha. There are gemaras that would call them a rasha. So the labels, this labeling is not making sense. I don't know what these words mean. Sounds serious to be a rasha, but now you're throwing it around. You do a small aveira, you're a rasha. Don't stop someone from doing an aveira, you're a rasha, right? Don't use your time wisely when you could, you're a rasha. These labels, what are they describing? What are they actually describing? And what is that promise that one has to make before they come down? I want to be a rasha, not a tzaddik. Because if you're telling me that I have to promise that every moment of my life is going to be used exactly to the max, right? It's a hard promise to make. And if you're telling me that if I don't use even something so small as not utilizing the moments in my life, if you tell me something so small like that labels me a rasha, like who's ever going to be able to stand up to the challenge? So the words, this wording rasha, tzaddik, beinoni, what are they? Who are they? What are we talking about? M.K.? Al-karcha ha beinoni ein ba afilu avon bitol tarah. If even doing bittul Torah, right? Not using your time for holy things. If even that puts you into the category, this big bad category of Russia, so you're going to tell me that a Beinoni doesn't even have that Avera? Umishum hachi ta rabba ba'atzmo lomer shu Beinoni? And maybe that's why Rabba was under the impression when he used the word Beinoni, right? What he was saying was, it doesn't fit. Also now, right?
It shows how hard it is to be even a Beinoni.
Even a Beinoni is like, misstep and you're not a Beinoni, right? Rav is making a big mistake.
That's why Abai is telling Rav that he made a mistake to say it, because if you call yourself a Beinoni, that means you're...
So Beinoni is obviously something up there, because anyone that does anything little bad, the Gemara is like putting a stamping on them as Russia. So what? So Beinoni is obviously, what's tzaddik? Again, Baita, you see these questions. He's just showing you that Chazal, it's very unclear in Chazal what exactly these terms are being used for.
What is the point of Bittul Torah? So
the reason why I brought it in was to show that even the Avon of Bittul Torah, which would he says in the big picture, like I didn't like do anything, I just didn't learn, right? Like I hardly did anything, and you're putting the category of Russia on me. It's like where's the Beinoni? What's the Beinoni? Right? What is he? Now he brings furthermore, Vahadamrinam Ba'alma, the Mechsa al Mechsa Mikri Beinoni, the Rov Zechuyos Mikri Tzadik. Almost in parentheses, he says that the world uses terms of Beinoni and Tzadik, and they use it to describe someone who is 50-50 when it comes to their judgment, right? If someone has mostly zechuyos, like it's like Rosh Hashanah is coming, right? If we have mostly zechuyos, we talk about this on Rosh Hashanah, right? Like the tzaddikim, they're mostly zechuyos, so they get judged right away. The people that are mechsal mechsa, they have to wait. But like the rishayim, right? Mikri tzaddik. He says that whole discussion about tzaddik Russia being 50-50, hushem hamushal le'inyan schar va'onish. That's really just discussing reward and punishment. And it's a borrowed term, and it's borrowing the term, the name, the label, tzaddik and rasha. Lefi shenidon acharubo mikri tzaddik bedino. Doesn't mean he's righteous, but it means he's righteous in judgment, meaning he will come out zakai. He'll come out okay in judgment because he has mostly good things. Mi'achar shazoch bedin. Avol le'inyin amitas shem hator v'hamayla shal maylos u'madregos. Chalukos, tzaddikim, ubeinonim. But he says, but if you want to get to the root of what these levels are, the different levels of tzaddikim, rishoyim, beinonim, amr chazal, then you have to go back to that gemara that said, tzaddikim, it's not a description of stuff that happens to you. It's not a description of your actions. Because we see that there's so many different chazals borrowing and using these terms and throwing them around and labeling Russia on small mistakes that a person makes. It can't be from all everything that we've done so far. Yeah.
The word pressure really we're using it incorrectly, but it's not the typical definition of pure evil. We're using it
good. It's obvious, right? The Gemara uses it. The Gemara uses it. The point that you're 100% correct. The point that Baal Tanya says is I want to be particular in moving forward. I want to particularly talk about the root. It doesn't help, so thank you. I want to particularly talk about the root of what it is to be a tzaddik, to be a rasha, not the way the Gemara is using it when it talks about other inyanim or not other uses of the word. I want to get to the core, right? That's exactly what, until here, what he's done is show you that you can't just simply say tzaddik, rasha, throw it around. Gemara throws it around. It's describing different things. We have to get to the root of it. At the root of it, Amar Chazal, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftan, the way to understand a tzaddik, and again, this is not the final answer, but it's the beginning of a set of instructions. Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftan. The way tzaddikim go through life, their Yetzer Tov is the decider for them. Shenemar, and the Gemara brings a pasuk. The Gemara says, "V'libi chalal bikirbi." My heart is hollow inside of me. Which means, why is it bringing that pasuk? V'libi chalal bikirbi. What does that mean? The heart is hollow inside of me for the tzaddik. In the purest form of the word, it means she'ein lo yetzer hara, because the tzaddik has no yetzer hara. Ki harago b'taynis, because he killed his yetzer hara with fasting. He had his methods and he had a way to kill the yetzer hara.
What's the point in life anymore? That
for the tzaddik,
yeah,
do really good stuff.
You're not doing anything.
Oh, you know,
I don't know. Yeah, you're only not doing anything if you don't have yetzer hara.
One second, I think. No, wait. Before you talk about struggling, but don't jump the gun. We didn't say anything about struggling, right? Really, what he's describing here as a tzaddik, in this first glance at it, what he's describing here is someone who's really not struggling. His heart is empty. It means he looks around inside for a yetzer hara, and he's The Yetzirah is gone. He's killed his Yetzirah. Relax with Gomer. That's tzaddik.
I'm saying if somebody's there's two parts in tzaddik.
You might not need Gomer. That's Gemara says that tzaddik is someone who has killed the Yetzirah. Now what's the point? But the point is that's a life. That's the point of life, right?
No.
If you could, I'm not saying that's the goal for each individual person, to live with a Yetzer Hara that's been removed, that now you can live with Dveikus.
There's no Dveikus. You're not attached to anything. You're not struggling to connect to Hashem. If it's just everything is easy for you, you're not actually connected.
Okay.
If you're married to somebody and your wife is like, do whatever you want, and I'm always going to be happy, and I'm never going to be upset at you, and I'll go work, and you sit around and do whatever you want, and this and that. You don't have a marriage.
Okay.
It's
an excellent, excellent point. And this is exactly what I was referring to when I said that is something that you have to leave open for further in the time. But it's such a good point, because what are you describing as tzaddik? And is this the goal? Is this the goal for me? I should try to kill my Yitzhar. Is that my goal?
No.
Of course. So the Baal Tanya, I believe we're going to see.
It's conquered, but it's still there. There's no such thing that.
You're not describing what he's describing. You're describing something different.
But let's say
he's describing someone who killed him. Is it?
I think his description is a metaphor. I don't think it's literally. I don't think he literally killed
him. He said
it.
You're empty.
That's the words that Gemara uses is from this pasuk. Believe the chalal bekir. It's empty. My yetzirah is gone.
His yetzirah is higher, Gemara, but his yetzirah is also higher.
That's fine. But his yetzirah is not.
He conquered it. He conquered it.
No, you don't conquer it. You don't conquer it. The higher somebody's yetzirah gets, the higher the yetzirah gets.
Except for the
we're also told that. But we're being given.
He has an Yetzer Hara.
You say yes.
Even a body on rock. Look what the governor said. David Schleimer was the worst person. He had the most ladies in his life. He did so much wrong with him. With chairs and poles and
what is this Gemara saying?
I don't this know what this Gemara is. I'm giving you a general
Gemara.
Okay, good.
This Gemara says.
Let's just a very simple example. You're yes. Chaim Kanievsky, and you're sitting and you just want to learn all day.
Yeah.
You have a line out the door of people who have serious problems and shahs that need to be answered. So either one is not a bad decision, but you have to work on your tzvegas up with Hashem to find out what is going to bring me closer to you. I want to learn all day. I care about these people. I don't know which. So you still have to work on your tzvekas. You still have to make hard decisions, but they're not the same decisions that you might make if you're a Bainani, if we're going there.
There's about Tanoim who literally grabbed ladders running through town to go meet women.
That's true, but
yeah,
but,
so you,
but
you
we don't know. We don't know how we power. We don't understand what's the label.
Right.
So here we have a Gemara that tells us that the tzaddik category is someone. I'm not saying that this is where we have to all get to. No one ever said that. Until he tells me that this is where you have to get to, I didn't say that, right? I think all of a sudden, everyone jumps up over here, right? Because they're like, what? I can't do that. I struggle. And I thought you told me that struggling is good. Okay, good. Leave room for that question. It's such a good
question.
So are we supposed to be a tzaddik? Strive for this, maybe. You have to.
No.
You have to make a promise before you come down that you're supposed to be a tzaddik. This is what I'm striving for. This. Let's see. Leave it open. Understand. Allow for the question to bother you. Allow that question to bother you. It's like, what do you want from my life? You want this? This is what you want? That's what. Avol kol mi shelo higia lemadrega zu b'zok t'bal tanya. Anyone who hasn't gotten to that level. Like everyone normal, like where their heart is not empty of Yetzirah, right? Anyone who's not gotten to that level, even though on his external actions, he might do a lot of good things, even more than bad things. He's more than 50-50. He's not at all in that category. That category is reserved for, the Gemara is telling us, that category is reserved for people who killed the Yetzirah, and anyone, even if he's 99%, sounds like, right? Even if every once in a while he has this 1%, I don't know, even if he's talking about actions, even if he has 99% good actions and 1% is not as good, 1% is Bittul Torah, not in that category.
It's true, the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that Hashem saw that this tzaddikim are very few. Amad v'shaslam b'chol dar v'dar. And he went and he sprinkled them, he threw them into every generation. There are tzaddikim. Ukmasha kasav, the tzaddik yisod olam. That's the foundation of the world. It's what keeps the world going, is these tzaddikim. But what's for me, says the Baal HaTanya. What's for me? Okay, sounds great. But can you continue? Ach, bir ha'inyan. So he says, we're going to have to jump in and use the words of Rav Chaim Vital, who was the student of the Arizal, Rav Chaim Vital in Eitz Chaim and Shari Kedusha, in the Sefer that he wrote of his own Torah, that he says, the L'chol Ish Yisrael, we have to know what part list, what's the parts list, in order to understand Tzadik. Beinani, we're leaving these questions. We have some questions. We have some contradictory chazals and unclear labels. But to understand the parts, let's begin to understand the parts. The lechol ish Yisrael. Every single Jewish person, echad tzaddik ve'echad rasha, whether you're there in the category of tzaddik or in the category of rasha, yesh shtei nishamos. That every single Jew has two souls. Ukedichsiv. Like the pasuk says, "Uneshamos ani asisi." Hashem said, "I made souls. I gave people souls. Each one of you, I gave you souls, multiple, two of them. Shtei nefashos, two souls." Let's understand what the parts are that we're dealing with before we know how they work fit together. Nefesh achas mitzad haklipa v'sitra. We're going to get introduced tonight with Hashem's help in the next few lessons. We're going to get introduced to the first of our souls. Nefesh achas mitzad haklipa. One of them comes from the side of the husks. I'll try to understand that in a second. The sitra achra and the other side. Where does this soul live? V'hi amislabeshes bedam ha'adam lahachayos hagof. And this soul is enclosed in the blood of the person, and it animates the body. Uchidichsiv ki nefesh habasar bedam hi, that the soul of man, the soul of all flesh, is inside of their blood. Now, what does this soul do?
Animates the body.
It animates the body. It allows the body to
function,
do things. Umimena, and from this soul, let's see the words of the Baal HaTanya, and then maybe we'll try to understand. And from this soul comes out all the negative character traits that, if you whittle them down to their basic functions, they come from four foundational ingredients. And we'll talk about these, what these four are. I want to go further, but I also want to stop right here. I'll tell you why. I don't want to rush this. This is foundational. This is foundational here at the end of Parak Aleph, our introduction to our introduction. Let's do one more. Let's do two more lines. Two more lines is okay? Yes, yeah. Two more lines is okay? Okay, let's do two more lines. And I think we'll come back to this next week to try to set up what this soul is. But understand that he's saying that, so this is going to go a little quicker in the text, but hopefully we'll be able to, at the end of tonight, say one line that's going to help us understand. Dehainu, kas v'gaiva miyasod ha'esh, she nigba l'mala. There's four basic ingredients to everything. Four basic elements. You have fire is one of the elements. Fire is one of the four basic elements. Fire, as represented in a nida, in a character trait, on the negative side could come out. You could be a very fiery person, full of anger, maybe, full of gaiva, full of haughtiness, arrogance. That's element number one. Taivas hatanugin yesod hamayim. Element number two is water, which that element gives or makes taiva, it makes a person lust and things that they enjoy doing. Ki amayim matzmichim kol minei taiva. The hololos v'leitzanos v'espiros v'dvarim b'teilum yisod haruach. The third element is wind that leads to, could lead to leitzanos. V'atzlos v'atzlos miyisod ha'afer. The fourth element is dirt. That leads to sadness and laziness. V'gam midos tovos shebeteva kol yisrael v'toldosam. K'mo rachmanos u'gmilos chasadim v'os mimena. These are important words, but I don't want to. I want to be able to finish. Yisrael nefesh zu deklipa, he mi klipas noga, sheyesh lo gam kein tov, he mi sod eitz hadas tov yira. He says a Jewish soul. We have to know that a Jewish person is made up of two souls. Made up of two souls. That's what we have to know. And he's just introducing us to soul number one, which he hasn't even named yet. And all he says is that that's the soul that animates all of our bad character traits and possibly some good character traits that we're like born with. Like every Jew is born with certain good character traits.
Elements like emotions?
The elements. Okay, so it's really, it's a big discussion. Thank you.
Aristotle.
Oh, I see. Okay. Humor.
It's like just break everything down into like four ingredients that mixed in different ways, as I talk like a simple man,
right.
Mixed in different, not like a scientist,
that's
doctor,
I understand. No, I don't.
Mixed in different ways produce different results, mm-hmm. And they have leanings towards certain things, and that's all contained. All of those midos are contained or expressed by this soul that we have. He has a line here where he says it's different when you're talking about non-Jews. Which is not the discussion tonight, the difference between Jews and non-Jews and the makeup of their soul, because what's important to me right now is eventually I'll understand the whole world, right? Hopefully, the Baal HaTanya will explain it to me, right? But right now, my focus is on what's this Jew, what are the parts of this Jew, right? Masha'en ke nafshos umas ha'olam, he says, the souls of non-Jews, hei mishar klipos temeos, she'en behen tov klal, he says, those are things that don't have natural good qualities, Kamasha Kasov, Beit Chaim Shar, Mem Tes, Perigimo, the Chol Tivo, the Abdin almost like Gamayu Abdin, and really they do stuff for their own gratification. Could be that they do good stuff, but it's not because of a natural leaning towards good. Could you Isa the Gemara? On the Pasuk that says, the Chesed, the Umim Chatas, Shechol Stuck of the Chesed, Shumas Olam Osin, that really the Umas HaOlam do things for other reasons, not really the discussion for tonight.
What head of this somebody who said they want to become good? Where is that inclination come from?
Good. That's not going to be answered in Parak 1 of Kaizen. Excellent question. Excellent question. Okay, what am I coming out with tonight? We were introduced to the idea that Tzadik and Rasha are important things to define. Beinoni is important to define. We have not answered who am I, what am I made up of, and what is the point? Am I supposed to be a tzaddik? Am I supposed to be a Beinoni? Is it good to be a Beinoni? Is that something that is just who I am? Where am I? Where do I fall? None of those have been answered. And with Hashem's help, if we join together next week, we'll be able to begin to explore some of those answers. Try it.
Try it.